making me relive it.
If I don't make you relive it, your nightmares will. So this is how therapists work, right? We expose you. You scared of spiders? We show you spiders. That's all we do.
Exposure therapy. I'll be honest, I haven't been able to sleep properly.
See, this is why I'm helping.
So I'm very tired.
Ding, chong.
Hi, and welcome to Rice Tomichi, your comedy podcast about Asian culture. I'm your host, Evelyn Mok.
And I'm your co-host, Nigel Ung. Episode 102. And Evelyn has joined the Hate Crime Club. Hey! Welcome to the club, Evelyn. It's nice to have you here.
I knew you would be the worst person to talk to this about. Actually, the best person.
Yeah.
But also because... What do you mean? I've joined the hate crime club.
You've been hate crimed on, just like me. We can relate to each other so well now.
I don't want to be part of this club.
Why? Nobody does. Yeah. Nobody does. But that's the reality of the world, isn't it?
It is the reality of the world now. And it is true. I mean, okay. So for the people who aren't aware, let's explain what happened. The Friday before the weekend, I went to a store that's like 15 minutes away from my house. And then I was walking back home from getting groceries. And I decided to walk like a back road to get to the main road. And so on this back road, at the end of it, I pass a man who's like just standing there. And there's an automobile shop there. And he looks like he's just standing waiting. So I'm like, oh, okay, he's probably just waiting for his car. I don't think much about it. And then I just keep walking. And all of a sudden, I notice how he's walking behind me, which I find was really weird because I was like, I felt like he was just standing there waiting. And immediately I start thinking, because I was fiddling with my phone and I was like, does he want my phone? I better put it away. So I put my phone away and I keep walking because I felt like he was following me. And so I was like, whatever, I can't be sure. But then we get out to the main road and we walk down the main road and I was like, I need to somehow get away from this man. And so I cross the road all of a sudden, and I can see that he kind of gets a bit like, oh, okay. And he keeps walking a little bit on the road, but then he also follows me across the road. And I was like, okay, it definitely feels like he's following me now. And so I speed up and he speeds up. And by this point, he notices that I've noticed that he's following me because I keep looking back. And so he gets closer to me and now he starts coughing really loudly. And I was like, okay, is this like really happening? Cause now I'm catching on. I'm like, is this because I'm Asian? And as I do that, like he's coughing as well. And so my mind also goes to there was a Somalian woman in London who was out one day and there was a man who harassed her and he was like, he coughed on her and he was like, I'm going to give you corona, and he coughed on her. And then a few days later, it turns out she got corona and she passed away. And I was like, is that what's happening? Even though the coughing that he was doing sounded like he was doing it to get my attention. And so shortly after he did that, he started slurring me. So he started like saying ching chong and like all of these Chinese kind of slurs. But he started singing them, Nigel.
Mm.
Like he was singing the slurs.
Like this?
No, not like that.
So he had a gong with him as well?
You're the worst. You are the worst.
What? You said you were singing it. Just making mental associations here. What's wrong with that?
He started singing it.
Okay.
I can't believe you used that.
Why would I not use
that?
It's
me. Stop. I'm telling you. This is traumatic and I'm reliving it. And I'm telling you.
And I'm here trying to tell our audience. And I'm here to lighten the mood too. You know, this is how you get over things, right? You joke about it. Have you not had enough people posting themselves crying on Instagram? You want me to do that with you too?
It's been too much recently. With all the news of the hate crime, have I been punched in the face? No. But I'm crying anyway.
Enough!
Oh,
what good
gosh.
Is that doing, people? Carry on, carry on.
This news has just been so overwhelming.
You're the worst person to talk to this
so
about.
Hard.
Publicly, at least, because I called Nigel right after this and he was very supportive.
Yeah.
But like now, you're being such a dick.
Why am I being such a dick?
Carry on, carry on.
Yeah, you're saying you want to make it funny. That's what you said to me before we started the podcast. So I was like, okay, let's make it funny. And now you're like, why are you making it funny?
I was just about to make it funny because he sang to me. He slurred. He sang the slurs to me. And I think he probably did it because there were people around. So he was trying to make it less obvious that he was slurring me. But like, Nigel, he basically serenaded me
yeah.
with slurs. Like, that's the nicest way I've ever been slurred. Like, he was like, ching, chong, ching, like, and then just made a bunch of Asian noises. And I was like, I mean, this is really offensive, but at the same time, why are you singing it?
I think he's trying to flirt with you.
What? Gross!
That's how some people... That's how long Evelyn hasn't been flirted with. When you flirt with her, she faces a hate crime. That's... He makes me feel good about myself. It's a hate crime! Hate crime!
At the same time, that is sort of how men in the West flirt with Asian women.
Yeah.
They sexualize us and objectify us as like Asian stereotypes. So, you know, wouldn't put it past him. But the thing was like
But hey, listen, the women out there, if you want to flirt with me like that, please. It's okay. I give you the permission.
Stop it.
To sing your ching chongs at me.
Stop it.
Ching chong, ching chong. Ching chong, ching chong.
Stop. Stop.
If they also sung it with that melody, that's like an old school Chinese song, I'll be like, you know your shit. Okay.
I was just going to say, I was like, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, see? Maybe that's what he was doing.
Ching chong, ching chong.
Stop singing, ching chong, ching chong. You're making me relive it.
If I don't make you relive it, your nightmares will. So this is how therapists work, right? We expose you. You scared of spiders. We show you spiders. That's what we do.
Exposure therapy.
Exposure therapy. Yeah.
I haven't been able to sleep properly.
See, this is why I'm helping.
So I'm very tired. That's not a lullaby, Nigel. It's not a lullaby. You're such
ching
a dick.
Chong, ching chong, ching ching chong.
All right.
Did I hit any of the notes he hit, or was he singing another song? I'll look it up.
Oh, the biggest dick in show business.
What? What? It's called riffing. So you can make your story funny, but I can't make your story funny? What's this hogging of punchlines here? What is this?
I think most people who listen to the podcast will agree I don't hog punchlines. I give you a lot of space.
Yeah.
Even in the midst of retelling my traumatic hate crime experience, it's the Nigel Ung show.
No, you said you wanted to make it funny, and I just joined in with you.
Yes, yes, yes.
What am I supposed to do? Sorry, I'm recovering from my illness too, so I keep coughing. It's not COVID, though. It's not COVID, don't worry.
Tonsillitis.
So if I follow you, if I'm walking behind you and I cough, it's not you, though. I'm not following you.
Oh my God! Oh my God! my God. You're such a dick.
So he just walked past you and go, okay, I'm not going to do it again.
Oh my God. All right. So he, by this point, he's luring me and he's doing it in this really bizarre way. And I'm like, this is really, really bizarre. And so, but the thing is, I'm properly freaking out by this point because I'm like, he's not letting up. That was the thing. Like he noticed that I've noticed him. He sees that I'm walking quicker, but he's not letting up. If anything, he's amping it up. And so I'm actually kind of scared now because I'm like, this guy, I feel like this guy wants to do what he's seen on TV or what he's seen is happening now in social media. He wants to do something to me because I'm Asian. And I'm like, I just don't know what to do because I'm walking quicker. I'm not losing this guy. Is he going to follow me all the way home to my place or is he going to catch up with me and do something then? Like, what's going to happen? So I just keep walking and then I see there's a corner shop and I'm like, okay, I'm going into that corner shop and I just go in there. And as soon as I go in there, I turn around to look at him to see if he's following me. And then I just see how he's like, he just darts across the road. He basically rushes across the road and disappears. And what confirmed to me that he was following me was that he did that. But also there were people standing on the crossing on the road and he just walks through them. He just goes like, move, move, basically, and just goes and disappears. So I was like, okay, so he couldn't wait to get away. And that was kind of, because the thing is like the scary part wasn't that it wasn't the slurring, because I think as EC people, like East Asian or Southeast Asians in the West, we get slurred at all the time. Like it's like such a common occurrence. It's like, you know, a drive-by ching chong here and there. It's like so common that we don't even bring it up anymore.
Wait. How common is it? And I wonder what if my experience in life, I maybe get slurred at in normal times 4 times a year?
Yeah.
3 times maybe. A year?
Depending on where you are in Sweden. Yeah, maybe that. 4 times a year, maybe 6 times a year. I don't know.
Okay. I've never been slurred at common. Once in the US, you know. Surprisingly.
Yeah.
You know.
Surprising.
Despite what the media tells you. Chicago, not even New York or LA.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Just an aside. You know.
It doesn't mean that racism doesn't exist in the US because it obviously does.
Yeah. It's anecdata.
Okay. But you experience Europe being worse than the US.
In terms of slurring,
personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing, like it's something that happens that you have experienced before. So it's not something that'll rattle you. But what scared me was the fact that he followed me because he basically followed me for like 4 to 5 minutes. And it felt so targeted. Mm-hmm. Like that was the thing. I felt so targeted and I felt like, because it was just this panic of like, what is this guy going to do? And why isn't he stopping? Like, why isn't he letting up? So that was the part that scared me, the fact that he followed me. And I was like, it's so clear that he wants to do something, but I just don't know what. And I just don't know when, basically. But I guess when he catches up with me. And the fact that it angers me that I had to go into a store for him to stop. Yeah. And the fact that it was so brazen as well, because it was on a main street and there were people around. So why are you grinning?
What? No, I'm just listening. I just think.
What do you want to say?
Nothing.
What do you want to say, Nigel?
Nothing. I'm just thinking back to me humming that song and it's very funny.
You dick.
It just popped into my head again. Sorry.
So your friend,
just cut
your
away from my face for this shot, please. Just let me finish her story.
So your friend is talking about like the part that that scared her the most.
Let me tell
and
you.
You're thinking ching chong.
No. Let me tell you exact things that's going on in my head.
Oh,
I was
my
thinking.
God.
Now you're saying it's really scary, and I'm trying to think back to if I was gonna get followed. I was like, yeah, fuck, that's scary as fuck. But then I cut to him singing ching chong ching chong. And then I can't help but put a smile on my face. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh my
God. You put that idea in my head, now it's stuck there now.
Oh, you're the biggest.
You said you were singing the slurs. It is scary if you're followed. And I fear, and I had that fear. I'm just imagining it happening, and I have that fear too. I'm thinking back to my own experience. Yeah.
Because the thing is, okay, like, you know, while it was happening, it was so bizarre. And it was, I mean, it added to the, like, the scariness. But obviously, afterwards, I've thought about it. And I'm like, he was fucking singing it? I mean, what the, like, and you know, you try to find humor in it that way. So it's like, I was being serenaded. That's the nicest way I've ever been slurred. And it's like, oh my God, I bet you do this to all the people you want to harass. Sing the slurs. But also one thing was, I was like, how could I have defended myself? Like, because at one point as he was following me, I was like, I should just turn around and confront this guy. But then I was like, what if that angers him even more? And also I was like, how could I do it in a way that would feel threatening to him or like feel like he should stop? Like, should I pretend to know Kung Fu? Like, should I pretend?
How are you going to tell me? What?
I don't know. That was the thing. I was like, how could I pretend to know Kung Fu?
Improvise a pose?
Exactly. You know? How do I have to go Karate Kid, you know? Like, do I have to, or do I have to do the Bruce Lee, like, squat? Like, how could I convincingly, you know, pretend to know Kung Fu? And also, would he be convinced? Because this is obviously a guy who thinks that all Asians are responsible for Corona. So, you know, in that case, logically, he would also believe the more established stereotype that all Asians know martial arts. So, you know, maybe if I did that, maybe if I exploited that part of our stereotype, I could protect myself.
Not necessarily,
you know. How far would I have to go?
He could be a recent racist. So he didn't know the pre-Corona stereotypes. So you start
He's
dancing, I'm like,
racist.
Oh, my singing's really good. Let's do it more. Ching-chong, ching-chong. Ching-chong, ching-chong. She loves it. She loves my singing. Ching-chong,
oh
ching-chong.
How do we make it so racist? So now he's singing ching-chong, ching-chong.
Yeah. And you're
I'm
doing your dances.
Doing just faux kung fu.
Well, as you kung fu yourself into a shop, you know. I'm glad you didn't do the fake kung fu.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you.
Not because it's racist, because it would just be hilarious.
Yeah. It would be so funny. I was seriously
like, I
thinking.
I tried this so
like,
many times. Finally, it's worked.
Yeah.
On this woman.
And also like because we talked about it on Rice to Meet You and I was like, why not pretend to know that's so bad. It's so bad.
Finally it's working. I'm getting my dick sucked tonight. Let's do it more. Ching chong ching chong. As he slowly unzips his pants.
Well, the thing is, like, directly after I called you, because I didn't know what to do, I was like, because I came out of the store, because I was like, is he gone?
It's okay. You're welcome in the club anytime. The hate crime club.
Stop calling it the hate crime club.
That's what we are in. We don't have a choice. We're in the hate crime club.
Actually, Nigel,
what?
We kind of are the best people to commit a hate crime towards, because we have the platform to talk about it.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't work, though. We talked about it so many times now. It seems to only be getting worse. It's almost like racist people don't listen to Rice to Meet You.
It's Which almost is
like
weird
racist
because
people don't watch Uncle Roger videos. I talked about it in my Uncle Roger video, too, you know.
Because it's weird because, I mean, with a title like Rice to Meet You, you would have think it's right up their alley.
Yeah.
And with a character who supposedly is projecting and perpetuating Asian stereotypes, it would be right up their alley too. But apparently not. Racists don't listen to us and watch you.
Yeah. But when people always say, oh, you should talk more about this, you should talk about it on your platform. I have bitches. The clips got like 5 million views total. Guess what? Yeah. It's still bad. So, I don't know what the solution is.
Well, I actually saw that because I posted a video about this afterwards to my Instagram because I wanted to... I was just so shocked that it happened in Sweden. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's naive of me, but, you know,
it is a bit naive,
and ignorant of me, I think.
Because I thought I was a naive one. The psycho Swedish woman stuff. Sweden is a terrible country. It's a terrible
Sweden's
country.
It's a terrible country.
Psycho women and singing racists. Terrible country.
Singing racists.
They both should get together.
The singing racist
and
man.
And the psycho Swedish woman.
Yeah, the psycho Swedish woman. But it is that thing of like Sweden, we have this idea that it's so safe here. And also, I think that's a separate conversation, but I think that's also a part of Sweden not facing their institutional racism at all, which is the fact that it's almost as if they deny that there's racism here. But that's a separate conversation. That's very complicated. But the thing is, like, I just felt like, because Sweden's supposed to be a safe place. And when it comes to, like, racism, what I faced most is the, it's the, you know, like... everyday racism of slurring and stuff. Are you thinking about the song again?
No,
because you have
no,
a smirk on your face.
No. Why? Just talk. Why are you?
Okay.
Don't put words in my mouth. Now I'm thinking about it. Yeah. You made me think about it.
I just see you smirk.
I'm not smirking. I'm just in a good mood today.
Well, I'm in a terrible mood, but So in Sweden, basically, I always think you always have the sense of like safety. And I didn't think that like it would get violent. And so I feel very naive and very ignorant. But the thing is, like 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks prior to this, there was an incident in Stockholm. There was a woman, I think she was Thai. She was on her way to work and she started getting racially abused verbally on the bus. And then she got off the bus to go to work at her stop. And these two men followed her. And then she had to go through like a wooded area. They followed her in there. They grabbed her and started like just assaulting her. And one of them had a knife. And luckily, though, she knew self-defense. So she got out of that situation. Wow. But like it, I was like, and I read this after what happened to me. And I was like, shit.
Yeah.
So it's getting like things are happening here. The thing is, I realized that it's starting to happen in Sweden now. And that's why I made a video and I basically just recorded myself and put it out on Instagram. And honestly, like I was still pretty shook. So I don't know. I just did it automatically. I didn't think it through too much, but I just wanted to let other Swedish Asians know that this happened and that it's happening. And so that they can be aware and more alert, I guess, because it was just such a shock to me. And I bet like to many other Swedes and Swedish Asians. So I just wanted people to know that it happened and warn other people basically. And then I saw on my video, because you commented on my video, and then I saw somebody trying to hold you accountable for like, or like telling you to talk about it on your platform.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Using your
they
platform.
Did, yeah.
And I was like, I just find that very, I find it a very strange thing to do to somebody, to try and get somebody else to do something.
Yeah, I think the whole concept of holding me accountable, like, how? You don't pay me, you're not my boss. How exactly are you going to hold me accountable?
Yeah, but also the thing is like...
I'm just going to ignore you.
Well, the thing is also like asking somebody to talk about this, maybe they weren't aware that you'd experienced, like you got punched. Mm-hmm. You actually got punched.
Yeah.
Your hate crime was worse than mine.
Exactly.
Hate crime.
I didn't have a singing racist. I didn't have a singing racist. I just had a bad guy on a bicycle started punching me for no reason. There was no warning. There was no following. I think maybe it's better if there wasn't any following. Imagine if you had the following and then you get punched. Oh my God, suspense. It's too much. It's too much. If you want to punch me, just do it. No lead in. No suspense. no world building and suspense, please.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a better way to get hate crime done. I don't know. But yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, because when you ask somebody to do something like that, it's like, that was traumatic for you. And every time you speak about something like that, it's very difficult and you relive it. I mean, it's kind of, I'm feeling weird now. Like, I haven't been able to sleep properly for a few days, 'cause I keep thinking about stuff like that. And then, when I go, I've been out, but I haven't walked down that. I haven't gone to that part again. Now that I'm out walking, I keep looking behind me and stuff. And I know that you do the same.
Yep.
You say that you don't really feel comfortable anymore in your neighborhood. And you keep looking behind your shoulder to see if anybody's following you. And it's like, so you don't demand that somebody talks about it, because that person has gone through something that is very traumatic. And if they choose to do it, then yes, support them in doing so. But demanding somebody to do it, that's like, you don't have the right to do that. It's not your right to demand, really.
Yeah, don't worry. Doesn't bother me. People tell me to do shit all the time. I just don't listen. So that's how I deal with it.
Yeah, by suppressing.
But what we have listened to and what we have done is watch this wonderful film, Minari, who's a sponsor for today's episode. Yay!
Yay!
Some positive news in the Asian world for once. There's no hate crime in the film. It's amazing.
I know! And I was so suspenseful. I was like, oh my God,
they're in an all-white church.
They're in an all-white church.
Oh, nothing happened. Wow. In the 60s? This is very cool. In Arkansas? Wow. America is this beacon of hope. We should all move there. I think the immigrants who moved to Europe, they made the wrong choice.
Okay, Nigel.
America should be where it's at. The gold rush, the American dream, the lack of racism. Oh my God.
Okay, so... For you guys, we have a very exciting collaboration with the film Minari.
Yes.
Basically, they got in touch and asked us to watch Minari and talk about it for you guys.
Spoiler free, by the way. There won't be any spoilers.
We're going to try and be spoiler free.
No spoilers.
But one spoiler is that Steven Yeun is so hot in the film.
That's not a spoiler. That's not a spoiler.
He is so good. Okay, so Minari basically is about this Korean American family who moved from California in the 60s to Arkansas to start a farm in Arkansas.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like it's the quintessential American film, which is amazing. And I'm going to be on because it's about like, so there's this Korean American family. Steven Yeun's the dad. Han Ye-ri is the mom. And then Ellen Kim is the little boy. He's so cute. And then Noel Cho is the daughter. And then we have Yoon Yoo-jung, who is the grandma. And she is amazing. Like, she's so good in it. She got an Oscar nomination as well.
Wow.
Steven Yeun got an Oscar nomination. Lee Isaac Chung is the name.
Yeah, director.
Yeah, director. Yeah. He got an Oscar nomination for best screenplay and best directing, and then the film got an Oscar nomination. Like, all of this, very, very good and exciting.
Yeah, it's a great film. It, you know, like you say, it's an American dream film. If I ever make a film about my life, it'll be like that, but the YouTuber version of Minari.
Oh my God!
So in Minari, they work on a farm, okay? But my Minari will be me. Close-up shot of me pressing play on the camera and then sitting down with my orange polo, leg on chair. Hello, niece and nephew. That intro. Something, not Minari, but something else. You know, the title sequence.
So the thing is, like, the film is so beautifully shot. It's like a lot of, like, you know, artistic kind of framing and like landscapes and really beautiful. So they're gonna like shoot you that way.
Yeah, like, be the really pretty shot too. Yeah, yeah.
And then also in Minari, like Steven Yeun's character, the dad, he's like really toiling because he's a farmer. So he's like toiling the field.
I'm toiling
too. He's planting. He's like hoping.
Yeah.
He's like trying to get his
Adobe Premiere Pro.
Exactly. So it's just going to be
dragging
you.
Dragging and dropping files into the recycle bin, you know.
So Steven Yeun is like so tired after a day's work on the farm. And so it's going to be you just like uploading the video and just sitting there and being like, oh, I hope people watch it.
Yeah.
I hope people watch it.
Close up of me unbuttoning my orange polo after a long hard day, long hard day's worth of recording, you know, close up.
And what, I have to like pull the sweater off you because you can't lift your arms anymore because you have computer, like tennis arms.
Yeah, carpal tunnel arms.
Carpal tunnel arms.
And there's a scene where I get hate crimed on, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's my Minari. That's my story. So
Minari is... Minari, by the way, is they call it Chinese celery, right? Or Japanese parsley. It's like an Asian crop.
I like how we just call Asian crops that. You know, we don't even bother naming it. It's Japanese cucumber. Okay, can we name it something, sir? No, it's cucumber. It's Japanese cucumber.
Well, it's called Minari.
What about this new vegetable? That's Mongolian carrot.
It's literally called Minari, Nigel.
Oh, sorry. Oops. Joke didn't work. I jumped to conclusions.
It's literally the title of the film.
The English version of the vegetable. People love calling it that, you know?
Filipino
bok choy. That's Filipino bok choy. Filipino spinach.
Yeah. Asian spinach.
Yeah, Indonesian radish. That's Indonesian radish.
Oh my God. But basically, Minari is like, it's an Asian crop and it can be likened to parsley. And so
what? Is it Asian parsley? Is it Korean parsley?
Japanese parsley,
see,
according to
my
Wikipedia.
Point exactly. My point exactly.
I know, but now we have the name for it. Yeah, Minari.
Yeah.
It's Minari.
I'm sure, like, the Indonesian cucumber, they will have a name for it in the Indonesian.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. We're getting distracted here.
Yeah. We are. Yeah. But, like, in Korean, it's called Minari. So. Okay. And so basically it's quite symbolic. It's one of the crops that they plant. Mm. And that's why the film is called that. And also some other symbolism, but you have to watch the film to get that.
I think it's because it's the most poetic sounding vegetable they have. Because they probably had like other vegetables that didn't sound
chili.
Good. Chili. Bok choy. Can you imagine they made a movie, bok choy?
Kimchi.
Yeah, kimchi. Nobody's
Chinese
watching kimchi.
Cabbage.
You know, it's a bit too. Like,
it would be, yeah, too on the nose. Yeah. It's too on the nose.
Is it a food documentary called Kimchi? Minari sounds poetic. Nobody knows what it is, you know?
It's really, yeah, exactly. Nobody really knows what it is.
Imagine
which
they
is
called
really
it Korean
good.
Parsley. Zero Oscar nominations.
Yeah.
For
and
Korean
the
parsley.
Winner is Korean parsley.
This is Steven Yeun's latest project.
For Korean parsley. Oh, that's funny. Maybe more white people would watch it if it was called Korean parsley.
No, please. We should not name movies based on what we think will make white people want to watch.
I know. Oh my God. But it's basically, I mean, I don't know when you got emotional to this film, if you got emotional to it, but basically in the opening scene. So
they say Korean parsley in block text.
Yeah, exactly. That's when I got teary-eyed. But like in the opening of the film, as they're going to the farm, as they're driving to the farm, it's like really beautifully shot and there's like a really nice music to it. I just started welling up and I was like, oh no, this film's going to be so emotional. I'm going to cry.
Well, I didn't cry in the first 30 seconds. So
I cried in the first 30 seconds. Because every time I see like just Asian people struggling, it just reminded me, I'm like, that's what my parents went through, you know. The fact that they went to, so this is something I thought actually, the fact, because it was so tough, like, you know, I just realized how tough is it to go to a new country where you don't know the language and you don't know the culture. And you're going to go there to try and make it and build your family and make a good future for your family. How tough is that? And that's what my parents did. And it's like, but the fact is also, I'm like, would it have been tougher if they remained in Korea and did the same? Like, how bad then was it in the home country that they decided to go abroad to do that and risk everything to do that in an unfamiliar environment? Yeah. And I was like, would it have been as bad if they stayed in Korea? And then, immediately after I watched Parasite and I was like, oh, it would have been bad. If they stayed in Korea, they would have been the basement family.
Yeah, Evelyn finally watched Parasite. Congratulations.
I did. I watched two Korean films in one night.
Well, if you have respect for the people who come to a foreign country, you know, you should have respect for me. That's what I did.
Oh, my God.
I'm doing that. I am Minari, bitch.
I'm not even going to comment that.
Why?
I'm not even going to comment
because
that.
I don't have props.
Oh, you are Minari?
I am
you
Minari.
Are Minari.
I am
you
Minari.
Came,
I'm resilient.
You came and worked.
I'm strong. I'm symbolic.
You came and worked as a data analyst.
Yeah, I'm a Korean parsley. That's what I go by from now on. Korean Parsley. Nigel, Korean Parsley.
You're never going to escape 9 condoms.
But listen. It must be tough. You know, of course it's tough. But also sometimes they come over to the U.S. and, you know, because I think at the time there was an American dream stuff and life was a lot easier in the U.S. You know, everybody there, you could be work a minimum wage job, but then you can still afford a middle-class house in the suburbs, white picket fence. You know, so there's a lot of opportunity. So you attract a lot of people who are poor and struggling in their home country, but you also attract a lot of successful people too.
That's actually a good point because I was talking to a friend and she was saying like, because he was the eldest son in the film. Like one of the things in Asian culture is that if you're the eldest son, you kind of support your family.
Yeah.
Like your mom and dad and, you know, siblings. And so in the film, he has a line where he says that he, as the eldest son, he needed to support his family. And so probably if he stayed in Asia or Korea at that time without an education, he probably wouldn't have made enough money to be able to support them. But in the States, he did. So yeah, that's a good point.
See,
you do that too.
You had a good life. You had a good life. You got a nice car, decent sized family mobile, right? From what? Doing a very, very labor intensive minimum wage job. And he got a car. He bought a house with tons of land. Not a bad life. Not a bad life.
Okay. Okay.
He worked hard. It's a good story. It's a very hopeful story.
It's a really, really good story. And it was very symbolic and very like, it was like Lee Isaac Chung, great script, honestly. Like it was quite beautiful because, yes, you know, of the different things that he linked and stuff. And also like the grandma is brilliant. She's so brilliant.
If you love film, you love Asian people, you just love the good shit. Just love good art. You should watch Minari. Okay.
I mean, Steven Yeun is great, and Alan Kim is so good in it. He's so cute. And Steven Yeun, actually, I mean, I love Steven Yeun so much. Like, I saw him, I discovered him in Walking Dead, like everybody else, because it was his first big thing. And so, Okay, spoiler alert for the people who haven't seen Walking Dead, but by this point, you should have. So, basically, after Steven Yeun's character in season 6 gets killed off, I couldn't watch The Walking Dead anymore. I haven't watched it since the episode that he dies. I haven't watched The Walking Dead because I just mourned his character so much. I mourned Glenn so much. He was the only Asian in that show, and they killed him off. And I was so sad. I loved that character.
Yeah, that's enough diversity. 6 seasons worth. So, okay, time to go, Steven. You've fulfilled your purpose.
Yeah.
All white cast now. All white cast.
Well, they were kind of diverse. They had.
Okay, even worse. We don't need you anymore. We got enough diversity.
Yeah. But oh my God, I loved his character in that show. And I was I was heartbroken when they killed him off. I couldn't watch The Walking Dead
anymore.
Well,
good news, they don't kill Steven Yeun off in Minari.
They don't. Yeah, that's a spoiler we can
not a spoiler. He's a main character. You know? So it's okay.
Well, you never know. I just sat on the seat, edge of my seat, because it's a very calm and quiet movie. And so I just sat on the edge of my seat, like filled with suspense of like, something's going to happen. Something awful is going to happen. But that's actually a testament to Lee Isaac Chung, or it's a testament to me watching too many like things, you know, like true crime things. And also like where I kind of anticipate like horribleness happening.
I thought it was more your hate crime thing, you know.
So maybe you were like, maybe it was that.
Maybe driving past Steven's house, and then you're expecting someone to go, "Ching chong, ching chong, ching chong, ching chong," and Steven's like, "Wrong culture. That's a Chinese song. It's a Chinese song, bitch. Sing something Korean." Let me show you. Let me show you the Korean song. Come into my house. Come into my house.
Yeah,
there's a scene like that. There's a scene like
song.
That, right?
Yeah. I can do a Korean song.
Okay, do it. Do it in the ching chong sound, though.
No, what do you mean a ching chong sound?
That's what racists will do. The singing racists. If he wanted to. He got it right, too, if he did that song to you. But if you were Korean, then what would he have done? You know? Do it. Sing it.
I can sing. Choge, kapchi mukha. Being an analytical go. Yeah, I'm sorry. I just
ching
know that
chong,
song.
Ching, 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 chong.
Stop!
But none of that happened in Minari, okay? There's no slurring, no ching chonging. It's all very nice.
No ching chong. Oh, yeah. God.
It's more about fruit and veg, really. This movie is about fruit and veg.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. It's about fruit and veg. It really is. It really is a film about fruit and veg.
That's the world I want to live in, you know? There's no racism. Just plants.
Just fruit and veg. So, plants.
Minari is available to watch at home now. So visit minari.film to find out more. And the link will be in the description and the show notes as well. Minari.film. MINARI.FILM. This film will be available at home across all major digital platforms as well as on virtual cinema to support cinemas while they are closed. So, if you are just stuck at home and you want a good film to watch with a significant other because you're sick of the shit, Minari.film. That's where you need to go. I believe it's available in the UK now. Different countries have different release dates, so I hope when this comes out, wherever you are, just log on to it, see if it's there. If it's not there, get a VPN.
But yeah, in Sweden, I know it's being released in cinemas 21st of May.
Yeah, so. But don't risk going to a cinema, you know. There's hate crime out there. Stay at home.
Yeah.
Watch
Stay
it.
At home.
Stay at home.
Oh my God. I will say, Nigel, the way that I watch films.
Oh no.
Like, I don't think people like watching films with me because I'm very engaged.
Oh, so you watch films like a black woman.
Nigel!
That is their stereotype. Isn't it?
Yeah, that's a stereotype, but yes.
See?
No, but that's a stereotype. But I do, I talk to the screen and I get like really worked up. Like sometimes I remember when I watched World War Z, I stood up because I couldn't handle the tension. And I've only ever met one person who watches films like I do, and it's my friend Jay. And she is so fun to watch films with because we talk.
Is she a black woman?
She's a white lady.
Oh no! It was so perfect.
So your stereotype doesn't work. She's a white woman from Kent. No, she's not from Kent. She's from another part. I forget now. But she is. We watch it like. We comment on it, like we give like a running commentary on the film.
I would hate to watch like, movies with you.
It's so fun. It's so much fun.
It's fun for you. Fun.
Yeah. It doesn't mean that we're not appreciating the film or taking it in. It just means that it's much more fun to watch it. And like, and she's like, and we do it, I think, both of us, we do it because we can't handle the tension of like what's happening on screen. So we have to diffuse it, and we diffuse it by like constantly talking through the film.
So weak. And like so weak. Why so weak? Oh my God. So weak. Can't handle tension. Hiya.
I can't handle tension at all. I can't handle tension at all. It's the worst. Yeah. But so I need to like, so I think I need to meet somebody who can handle me watching films like that.
The list
I think
of,
it's fun.
The list of requirements like are growing to be Evelyn's mate.
I know.
Yeah. Be careful. The longer the list, the more likely you're going to be lonely. You're going to die alone. You know?
Oh my God.
That's what people do. They go through their whole lives with this long ass laundry list. And then on the deathbeds, they'll be like, maybe I could have crossed that off so someone could hold my hand as I pass from this world. Maybe they didn't need to be 6 foot two and handsome. Maybe balding was okay.
I don't have that type of, like, I don't have.
Maybe they didn't need to be, like, mentally stable all the time. Maybe just sometimes it's okay. Maybe they didn't need to be, like, emotionally available. Is that on your list?
Oh, my God. Is yeah, that that's on my list.
Maybe it's okay if they have mommy issues. Maybe having a healthy psyche isn't all it's cracked up to be. I'm alone in this dark hospital.
I'm gonna be like you now. I'm just gonna have nothing. I'm just gonna take whatever.
I have no list.
Yeah, you have no list. I can tell you have no list. I'm just gonna.
I have the opposite problem.
I'm
on my deathbed with too many people. I'm like, maybe I should have had some standards. These people are so noisy. Maybe I could have said, I want someone who, you know, I just want someone who has two phones.
Oh, that's funny. That's very funny. Oh, but gosh.
I'm recovering from an illness too, man. Last week.
I mean, yeah.
I had tonsillitis all of last week. I know it's not COVID because I went to get a COVID test. Like a walk-through one, you know, they test you and everything. And then it was negative. So I was like, okay, what could it be? Then I realized it's impossible to see a doctor now.
Why?
You know, I'm registered with a GP here. So I called them. And they were like, no, don't come in. Go online, fill out a form. We'll review your form in 2 business days. And then we let you know if you should come in or not. I'm like, I have a negative COVID test. Just let me. I'm dying. It's 2 business days. There's a Friday when I called. Should I wait till Monday to even see? I feel like shit. I'm dead on Monday, you know? And I should have, like, you're a doctor. Shouldn't you see patients? Right? And I have a negative COVID test. So, and then good thing my friend introduced me to this thing called Babylon, which is an app now, GP. You can just register a GP at Babylon, and then you can just call them. So it's quite useful. Yeah. I called them. They diagnosed my thing is tonsillitis because the tonsils were really red, really swollen, and they had like there was like white spots on it.
Did you have to do like this with your phone?
No, I just told them.
Oh.
Yeah.
How did you know that it was red and swollen?
I looked into it myself.
Oh, how?
Before,
in the mirror,
before,
like, ow.
Yeah, in the mirror, like, shine a light in there. And then, yeah, and then I got penicillin It's making me feel really tired all the time.
Yeah.
And I go to the pharmacy, and it's another thing. Like pharmacy, because we don't have the prescription. They just come at you with that. It's like, you work in a service industry. Shouldn't you go to someone with solutions? You know, people come into your practice. They're probably sick. They don't want to be there. I just want to get my medicine and get the fuck out. So just suggest something. Okay, I don't have the prescription. Okay, what can I do? Can I call? I'll call Babylon for you, sir. It's okay. Do that. I had to call the customer support myself. I had to press 3 for, you know, I had to go through the menu. And it was just terrible, man. Getting sick now if it's not COVID. Sick COVID people get treated like kings. But God forbid it's not COVID. You'll die in a ditch.
You have a point, because I remember at the, like in the middle of it or at the beginning of it, because of the pandemic being so, because COVID was so present. Is it prescient? Prescient.
Present.
Yeah.
Prevalent.
No. Prescient. Like as in.
Prescient?
Like.
Don't think it's a word.
Yeah, prescient. Prescient. I think it's a word.
Okay, whatever. I get what you mean.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Yes. But because it was so there, people who weren't suffering from it were pushed to the back of the queue.
Yeah.
So a lot of people who there were talks of people who actually now were actually maybe passing away due to other illnesses because they weren't being seen.
Exactly.
Because COVID was so
prioritized. So next time you get sick, get COVID first.
You know,
if you feel like you have a sickness coming on, go get COVID. And then a doctor will treat COVID and your other sickness. That's the only way to win now. What else? How? If you break your leg, go get COVID. And then they will put a cast on you after they admit you to the hospital.
So what did you, like, so, but you did get to get seen by the people on the app instead.
This is a 5-minute phone call.
Yeah.
And ideally, I would have liked the swab taken because it could be a viral tonsillitis or a bacterial, right? If it's viral, then penicillin won't work. So they were saying to me, well, we'll try penicillin first. If it doesn't work, then we know it's viral. I'm like, couldn't you just give me a swab? Couldn't you just
viral.
Do that?
Nigel, are you sure that it's tonsillitis and not throat cancer, maybe, like Michael Douglas had because he liked cunnilingus so much?
Well, I wouldn't know because nobody has seen me. I wouldn't know.
Or is it because you keep going? Or is it because you keep going? I wouldn't know. Or we're fun. It's funny.
It's funny.
It's funny.
Or ching chong, ching chong.
I hate that you've made it so catchy. Please don't
sing with me, everybody. Ching chong, ching chong. Light up your phones.
Don't make it into a sound effect.
Oh, man, that's coming. That's coming. That's coming, people. I'm going to play it on the karaoke background.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's so funny.
It's Asian culture.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it you got it from somebody who was trying to hate crime me?
I guarantee you that guy wasn't singing that song, that tune.
He was riffing
on the top of his head.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He wasn't. It wasn't as catchy as you.
See?
If it were, I would have been like, oh, okay.
Oh my gosh, he really is flirting with me. But, you know, let's be serious for a second here. I don't see a solution to this. First, okay, there's a lot of Asian hate already to start with, you know, because one, COVID, and two, there's a lot of Sinophobia anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, China's taking over. Stop saying that, people. China don't give a shit. Okay, that's that. And then you close down lots of parts of the economy. It affects people who, you know, are lower income, who are already prone to crime, and you take away their jobs now. What do you want them to do? Of course they're going to take it out on someone.
Mm.
Right? What's the solution here? Guns, that's what.
Okay.
Guns.
Why?
I think they should pass a law. I am pro-gun now, but only for Asian people. All Asians should be allowed to buy guns. Just Asians for 6 months. That's it. I'll return it to you when it's done. And you don't even have to buy it. Just having that law makes you feel safe and makes people doubt themselves before they want to attack you.
Wouldn't it be more then that they would have an actual excuse to attack you? Be like, oh, I shot that person because I was pretty sure he had a gun and he was staring at me.
Where would they get their gun?
Self-defense.
Where would they get their gun?
They probably already have a gun.
Then that's even worse then. If they have a gun already now, and there's a law of hate crime, and you don't have a gun, you're fucked, isn't it? You're fucked. I think it's a foolproof solution. I don't know why nobody's... I don't know why the NRA... Like, if you want pro-gun people to support you, reach out to Asian people now. We'll sign up immediately.
Nigel, stop it.
Why?
And you can't say that in America. Basically, you can already get a gun if you want a gun.
Yeah.
This would apply for Europe, wouldn't
it? Yeah, let's just change the laws of Europe.
Ugh, Nigel.
Yeah, we'll have background checks and everything. We'll have background checks. You know, let them listen to all the episodes of my podcast before they give me a gun. You know, they'll be like, nah,
yeah,
this
you'll
guy should have a gun.
Not get a gun. Not you'll get a definitely gun. Not get a gun. I'd get a gun.
Yeah,
I'd get a gun. They're like, oh, she's actually
she
very
needs a
rational.
Gun. How else is she going to get a date? She yeah. needs a gun.
Oh, come on.
You are going out with me. You are going out with me. Why did you respond to my calls? Oh, by the way, I love this part about talking to people about relationships, man. Talking to my friends who are girls about my breakup and stuff, because they're so supportive, you know. They're always going like, "Oh my god, she don't deserve you, boy. You know, you can do way better than her." And I'm like, "Yeah, I can." Because never has there been, well, maybe it's you. Maybe she just doesn't like you enough. My guy friends tell me this. Sorry, bro. She just doesn't really like you. She likes him more than she likes you. And then now I have to reflect. I have to be like, yeah, maybe that's true. Maybe my dick isn't big enough. I'm not good enough in bed. I'm not tall enough. I'm not good looking enough. You know? I think there needs to be a balance. That's all I'm saying. Sometimes it's your fault that things don't work out, isn't it? Sometimes it is your fault. When things don't work out, sometimes it's good to reflect. And maybe it is you. You know, like my marriage, I think it's mostly me, my fault.
Yeah, me too. You
know? Instead of the, it doesn't work out if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be. You can find someone way better, girl. Just let him go. He's just a boy. You need a man.
Who says this to you? Have I said this to you?
No, but the vibe, I get the vibe. This is what you say to women when they go through a breakup. We're gonna go shopping, girl. We don't need him.
If you're in
it's
Clueless,
totally not your fault at all.
Oh my god. There's like, yeah, I agree. There's responsibility. Yes. I mean, anxieties from my part, anxieties from the other person's part. Oh, two people to tango. Well, Nigel, you know, actually, I think this is a better way of doing it. The NYPD have organized a task force to work against Asian hate crimes. And do you know what they're going to do?
What?
Okay. They're going to deploy undercover Asian agents into high-risk areas.
Okay.
So, like... Okay. Undercover hot Asian cops.
I think you added hot in there. I don't think the NYPD cares about hot.
Yes, okay, I added hot.
You also don't want hot cops because nobody hate crimes a hot person.
Hot
well,
cops.
Okay, I guess I got hate crime, so that didn't work. But, you know,
Arrested
people,
Development.
What?
Hot cops. Arrested Development.
Yeah, okay, great. But nobody... NYPD doesn't care about hot. I think you added the hot in there.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good solution. I think that plus Asians are allowed to have guns. Only Asians are allowed to have guns. I think that can work well in tandem.
And we don't need the only Asians allowed to have guns. We just need the hot cops.
How about
hot
only
Asian
cops. All Asian people who are vulnerable to hate crimes are allowed to have
guns.
I'll give you that.
Okay.
So your dad
and
mom can have a gun.
Yeah. they would shoot each other.
Probably misplace it in their house because it's so cluttered.
They would shoot each other.
Francis, have you seen my gun? I swear I put it here somewhere earlier, Francis. Have you looked at under the boxes? Okay, I think I'm trying to look under the boxes.
You don't know how accurate that is. If you just replace gun with my mom's phone. Have you seen my phone? I had my phone. Where's my phone?
I was just talking. I was just using my gun. I was just polishing it the other day.
Oh, my God. But yes, isn't that great, though? It's like Avengers. It's like a movie. I can't wait till they make a movie. It's like a Donnie Yen film. It's yeah. like,
oh,
it's
Donnie cool. Yen. Wow. Evelyn knows her Asian reference. Wow.
To be fair, took that from Hung.
Donnie Yen's films are good, man. Have you seen it? Ip Man. One, Ip two, three,
Man.
Four.
I've seen Ip Man.
All four?
Which one did I see? One where he's like in Thailand and he's a boy and he grows up and he fights people.
Ip Man had no growing up scene. So I don't think you watch Ip Man at all. That's your next
what
goal.
What did I watch?
It's on Netflix. What did I watch? You probably watch Ong Bak, Thailand.
Oh, maybe I watched Ong Bak.
Ong Bak's
then,
good
yeah.
too, but Ip Man's yeah. even better. Go watch okay. it. It's all on Netflix.
Okay, I'll watch it.
Yeah,
I'll
you like it. You like it.
But I mean, hot Asian undercover cops? Yeah. Yes, please.
Yeah. Everyone would love to be hate crime now. Just stand in the middle of the square.
What, I would solicit it?
Yeah. That's how I carry a sign and say, I have COVID.
And the undercover cops would be like, she's asking for yeah. it. I mean,
no,
I don't know.
No, don't say that. You're victim blaming. Victim blaming.
Hot Asian cops. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, that's a cause I can get behind, you know. Can we donate yeah. to that? Because there are a lot of yes. fundraisers out now about COVID hate crimes, right? And yeah. sure, I will give, and I have given to the victims of the hate crime, which, by the way, very good deal. They're getting more than $1 million.
Nigel. But do you know the Asian grandma, you know, the Asian grandma who beat up her attacker?
Yeah.
She donated all
know,
of
that,
her
that was nice,
GoFundMe.
That was nice. But there are yeah. also organizations. Like, there's a website called Stop AAPI Hate. Mm-hmm. And then I looked at it, and I they take donations too. I look at it, I'm like, okay, so what exactly do you do? Oh, you do reporting and statistics on Asian hate crimes. Okay, very good work, but not what we need right now. We need basically... like bouncers to protect Asian people. Is there an organization where I can just... Bouncers are out of work now anyway. Why are they doing? They should be protecting Asian people. I will donate to an organization that assigns bouncers to all Asian people.
Yeah, that sounds good, actually.
Can we come up with an app?
I'd get behind that.
Can we come up with an app for that? Like Uber for bouncers for only Asian people? You know?
Asian Bounce. Asian Bounce?
Yeah, Asian Bounce. I'll pick one, and then there's a guy coming. I'm like, yeah, let's go grocery shopping together, bro. Yeah. You know? I'll donate to that. But this is not a time for statistics,
good,
people. This is a time for violence.
Nigel, it's a time for not violence. I mean, statistics, they're raising awareness. They're raising awareness. And it's good to have statistics about this because... especially when it comes to Asian hate crimes.
Yeah, but later.
The numbers are very...
Can we do that later? Maybe in like 2 months' time?
No, we need it now because it's happening now.
We need the bouncers now. We don't
need
the statistics
too.
Now.
We need both.
Tell
we
me which
both.
One's more urgent. Preventing a punch now or letting the punch happen and then studying it. Tell me what would you rather have? If we have the money to support both, great. But if you only have the money to donate to one, donate to the bouncers who protect old Asian folks. Fun.
Yes, yes, I can get behind that.
See?
I want bouncers to protect old Asian people.
Yeah.
Yes, so that we can actually
they're all unemployed now anyway.
Keep them safe.
How much is a bouncer?
Bouncers, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. How much is a bouncer?
Put your skills to good use. Before someone punches my face, I want a bouncer around so they can check their ID, you know?
Why would they check the ID?
Well, that's what bouncers do, right? They put a velvet rope around me. No, I jest. I just want a service.
You jest?
I jest.
You jest?
Yeah, I always jest. Whenever I say horrible things on the pod, I jest. And yeah, that's what I can get behind. Guns and bouncers. It's time to support violence with violence.
I mean, I don't. All
it's time
the
to go
opinions
Malcolm X
of you,
on this, people. 他的 Malcolm X is shit.
I'm Martin Luther King.
See where it got you. Ching chong, ching chong. That's your approach.
You're traumatizing me further. I mean, God. Oh, God. I mean, what was it I was going to say? I forget now.
Can we have the plainclothes Asian officers in the UK? I would like that. That would make,
yes,
make us feel
please.
Safe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's start
that. Would be amazing.
How do we start that?
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you, when I told my parents about it, my mom was like, get a baton, get a baseball bat. I'm like, yeah, mom, I don't think that's going to help.
Is that really such a bad suggestion?
To get a
some
baton
sort of weapon.
To get a well, I got spray. I got attack spray.
Okay.
I don't think it's pepper spray. I think it's illegal, but it's like an attack spray so that you spray it and it's red, so it'll color the person red and it's supposed to like what's it called? It's supposed to stop them. But
how?
I haven't used it
red?
Yet. Yeah.
So
I don't know.
Body
I don't
pain
know what's in it.
Stops crime.
I don't know.
It's illegal to carry weapons here in the UK, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that makes it very difficult for me.
To protect yourself.
Yeah. No, I have to take martial art, like self-defense classes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know what the solution is. There's no solution. We just have to survive this.
Let's think about it.
Let's just try to survive this, you know?
Yeah. But also, like, a lot of people wrote, commented, and they were like, take a picture. You should have taken a picture. And I'm like, in that moment,
yeah, you're stunned. I'm stunned.
Yeah. I'm stunned, but also it's like I don't know what's gonna antagonize this person.
You just want
even further.
For me too, in that moment, you just want the whole thing to be over.
Yeah, yeah, you want to be safe.
Yeah, so like you definitely don't want to do anything that will antagonize them, and also you're stunned. You don't think that far ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also like the taking like take a photo or take a picture or a video thing, it's so. It just feels, it's like, okay, for the police, sure. But it also, it's like, it feels very social media. Is that how we handle, these things now? With an intent of posting them on social media? Is that what it is now?
I think it's more for the police. The social media is just a side bonus. If you want to get some likes.
A side bonus. Well, yeah, it's just, but yeah, it's like in that moment, it was like, I don't want to do anything to antagonize this person further.
Yeah. Well, stay safe out there, folks.
Stay safe.
And yeah, let us know if we should turn our Chinese opera into a nice little sound effect.
I mean, it's not a Chinese opera. It's your imitation of my hate crime. Yeah. Every time you play it, I'm going to have like a traumatic PTSD flashback. Yeah.
I need a shop. Like, I need a shop. I need a shop. Where's the shop? See you next week, people.
Bye.
A massive thanks to all of our patrons who make this podcast possible. And we want to shout out our patrons at the Rice Emperor tier and above. Adrian Teo,
Alfredo Lopez Ramirez,
Alvin Ko,
Alice Gua,
Amy Wong, Angela Din,
Anna Chan,
Asian Snacks,
Aisha Shaheen,
Blue Duck,
CV,
Calvin May,
Charlene K,
Chai,
Edith Wu,
Chinese Hemp,
Chris Zaykit
Wong,
Christina Marie Van Norman,
Christy Lincoln,
Silla Siote,
D-Team Emergency Response Team Wimbledon,
Debbie Lee,
Dingus,
Doug Wheaton,
Elizabeth Hay,
Ella Wolf,
Evan Lagathe,
Grace Rotz,
H.
Hung Black,
Iris Holland,
Jackie,
Jared,
Jason Lee,
Jeff Cho,
Jeffrey Watson,
Jenny Chan,
Jessica Liu,
Ji Won Choi,
Jin Cheng Gu,
Johanna,
Joppa So,
Judy Lai Norling,
Carrie,
Krishna,
Kylie,
Lam Tin Luk, Byung Leslie,
Jason Lee,
Liz Asia,
Loi Hugh Dick,
Lori Hunt,
Megan McGurney,
Melissa Pham,
Mika Yasuka,
Mariah Bell,
Moon Chiu,
Natalie Lay,
Nathan Konopka,
Philip Idistrom,
Rachel Duffy,
Ramona Simonette,
Robin Wong,
Ruby Hong No,
Sakura Iwagami,
Sarah To,
Shelley Chow,
Sydney Mankowski,
Sifu Liu,
Simi Leung,
Teresa Ko,
Tom Green,
Valerie Gorospi,
Vera,
Vic Rant,
and James Aurora,
Vivian Kaler,
Whitney Romberg,
Zhou Zhang.
Thank you so much for your support.